Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Kelly Brown. I'm the CEO of Ampersand, a deposit administration firm. I am joined today by Michael Manka, our Chief Deposit Officer, and we are going to have a conversation today that I think everybody would need to hear, you know, in the wake of some bank failures in 2023, a shaky economy right now on the brink of recession. You know, we're going to talk today about why commercial or businesses should be protecting their deposits. And that could be anything from a commercial business, a church, a nonprofit, or any type of large depositor. And when I say that, what does that mean? It means you've got money sitting in the bank and it's above $250,000. Like, why should that matter? And why should you work with a company like ours in order to ensure those funds are protected, but also getting a great rate of return? So welcome, Michael Manka. You'll have a lot to add, and I think I'll start with Michael. Michael, you and I have known each other for 20 years, and you have been an entrepreneur and a business owner for most of your life. So I think you can speak on this topic better than most, because you've been there. You've been there. You're not just some banker sitting in a cubicle and have never made payroll. You've actually done it. So let's talk a little about that. Talk about the experience of being a business owner and now what you know about deposit insurance and banks and rates. What are your thoughts?
Well, given the events of 2023, when we saw three of the four largest bank failures occur in a matter of, I think, over a time span of about 3 months, it really should have woken a lot of CFOs up to the fact that concentration risk is a real thing. Having all of your funds in one financial institution as a business owner just isn't prudent.
Why not? I mean, because I think about it from the what's easy, right? If I own a business, it's a lot easier just to sign into my online banking portal and see all my money at XYZ Bank.
Absolutely.
Like, why is that not prudent?
Absolutely. Well, because of the risk associated with it. If SVB can fail in less than 24 hours, trust me, your bank could also fail in a short amount of time. And as a business owner, losing that precious capital that took so much effort and work to earn, to lose that and to risk that through a bank failure is just unnecessary when there's a completely viable solution out there that completely mitigates that risk and is as easy and simple to use as one simple online, you know, portal to go to see your balances and move your funds as needed.
So when I think about, I'm just going to put myself in those shoes, right? And I know that FDIC insurance can be complicated, and it's complicated, I think, maybe sometimes on purpose. You know, the more complicated it is, the more people are going to go, well, I'll just leave my money. I don't really understand this. But when you put it in the perspective of if you have, let's say, $1 million and it's sitting at one bank, I've heard a lot of people say over my banking career, well, you know, the bank's been around 100 years. They're safe. I'm not going to move it. You know, I know Jim. I know the president of the bank. He's a friend of mine. You know, he financed my first mortgage 30 years ago. You know, that matters to me. What do you think about when you hear things like that?
Yeah, and I hear that objection, or I hear that rationalization on a regular basis when I am talking to potential clients. And unfortunately, when the rubber hits the road and the bank does have a liquidity event where the FDIC declares them insolvent, all you're getting is $250,000, maybe more in certain situations with, if your money is with your spouse or a trust or some of those unique situations. But generally speaking, all you're getting in return from the FDIC is $250,000. $750,000 is at risk and is potentially going to go bye-bye if there's a failure where the FDIC has to step in and make depositors whole. All they're doing is covering that first $250,000 of your $1 million.
So why doesn't the bank just protect all of it then? Like if or why doesn't the FDIC protect it? Like why should customers' money ever be at risk? Like why doesn't the banking community or the FDIC just say 100% of everyone's deposits are always insured? Because that'd be easy, wouldn't it?
It would be, but it needs to go through a whole lot of lengthy approval process through the at the federal government level to change those rules. We have to play with the rules that we have in place right now. And as things stand, as of today, each depositor is insured only up to $250,000 at any FDIC institution or any NCUA for credit union institution. They also have $250,000 of NCUA insurance.
So when I think about, I remember watching the Super Bowl in January, and I remember sitting and a commercial came on for, I think it was Chime.com. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, how cool. There's a bank out there that's giving people their paychecks. I think it was 2 days early. Like it, if you're paid on the 15th, like you sign into your bank account and the funds are there on the 13th. And I thought that was pretty progressive. That was something we hadn't seen before. So when I hear about a Chime.com or I hear about a Roe Business Banking or Mercury or some of these other what look to be a bank, from the outside, and I know a lot of these companies are going after businesses and nonprofits and things of that nature. So how does their are they FDIC insured then? Like for our listeners or people that are tuning into this, like if I've got money at Chime or if I have money at Mercury or one of these other banks, quote unquote, what should consumers or what should people be thinking about as far as protecting their money in that situation?
Yeah, this is one situation where if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it is a duck. Unfortunately, in this situation, it's not. Chime looks like a bank, sounds like a bank, but technically they're not a bank. They're a financial technology company that is operating with a bank in the background. So again, the same rules apply. Each depositor is only able to receive the $250,000 FDIC insurance of the underlying bank that they are working with as a partner with Chime for.
And are those companies, like, is it pretty easy to find who the bank is on the back end of those companies?
Sure, you can usually scroll all the way down to
Okay.
the bottom of the website, and there'll be a whole lot of fine print with disclaimers, and they'll disclose who their network banks are, whether it's one or a couple banks. There is that opportunity to learn that and to understand who the underlying bank is behind Chime or some of the other fintech companies that you mentioned.
I mean, when you think about it, it's like who knew banking? It should not be this complicated, right? When I think about average everyday people that are running their businesses or, trying to manage a nonprofit and raise money and for to support a great cause, the last thing you want to be thinking of is, if I put my money at a bank or a local community bank, look, do I need to be concerned or should I be asking certain questions, what more diligence can I do? And I think one of the cool things about what we do is we take all of that thinking out of the way so our customers can do what they do best. And when I think about what are the questions that we ask banks, how would we know that a bank is either more safe or sound or has sound management practices or is maybe better off from a strength perspective. We call it capital, in a bank. Like, how do we know a bank has enough capital or that they're strong? That's what we do here. And I know that for some of our clients, we're able to, if they have an investment committee or a board of directors, we can provide information on the bank that they're currently working with so they can make an informed decision because a lot of times people don't know what questions to even ask to say, are my funds safe? Or are there different opportunities for me at the bank to protect my deposits? And I mean, what are your thoughts right now, given the fact that we've got an election coming up? We've got interest rates that everybody has been saying for the last 18 months, we're gonna shift downward. They have not shifted downward. We've seen inflation. You know, I think I was talking to someone, I was walking through the Walmart store in Wadsworth, Ohio over the weekend, and an avocado was $2.99 for one avocado. And so when we're seeing prices like that, obviously there's some problems in our economy. And do you think that rates are going to affect depositors, you know, here in the next few months, go up, go down? Like, what should we be expecting or thinking about, not just from protecting our money, but are we getting the best return we can possibly get? You know, to your point, these businesses and nonprofits and others, they work so hard to save money and to have this precious capital. But, you know, when your bank is paying you 3% less than what they could be paying you, and it's not insured, you know, what should people be looking for? What should they be thinking about, knowing we've got inflation, potential recession, we've got an election year coming up? What does that mean for all of these things on a depositor?
Yeah, and we've touched a little bit about the safety component that we do and we provide, and the solution that we provide our depositors at Ampersand. But return on investment, you know, the interest rate, you could look at Ampersand as your advocate, so to speak, to constantly be out there searching hundreds, if not thousands, of banks for the best rate possible. Most business owners, trust me, don't have time to be spending hours and days searching banks all over the country for the best rate. They don't have the muscle, so to speak, to be able to negotiate with a bank to get a rate exception that far exceeds what they might be able to get at their local bank. And every time the Fed adjusts, we went through one of the fastest declining rate environments with COVID, and then we went through one of the fastest rate increasing environments right after COVID ended, to go back then and we have to renegotiate with every single bank that they may have developed a relationship, just turns into a huge, huge heavy lift for a CEO or a CFO or an entrepreneur or you know, a nonprofit or church to go in and renegotiate all that. So we're an advocate on behalf of our customers to constantly be ensuring that they're getting the best market topping rate that they possibly can out there, which is a huge.
Well, and I know there's it is a huge time saver, and I know there's companies out there that, you know, they purport themselves to, maybe they've been around a while, maybe they've, you know, had something built on the backs of some other people, and they're purporting the fact that they can provide similar services or similar products that we do. But I would argue, you know, this is money. This is expertise. This is people. You want to work with people that have the chops in order to protect your money and to fight for the best rate they can possibly get. And you don't want to put that in the hands of people that are inexperienced, that are, you know, just purporting to be something that they're not. And so I think you and I can both attest, we've been doing this a long time. We have relationships, very strong relationships with the financial industry. We're not just talking a handful of banks here and there, or maybe in our backyard. We're talking about nationwide. We're viewed as the experts. We're viewed as the pioneers of what it is that we do. And that's protecting our deposits, protecting our depositors, and ensuring that our depositors are getting the best possible rate that they can get by using a firm that knows what they're doing and knows how to negotiate on their behalf. I mean, am I way off base in that line of thinking? Because, you know, anybody that can put up a flag and say, oh, we can do that too. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you're exactly right. Our space is complicated. And without you mentioned that I was a serial entrepreneur for many, many, many years. I'm one of the few people at the company that doesn't have extended banking background and experience working in a bank and at a high level at a bank. There's plenty of times where I'm even educating some of the banks that I'm talking to regarding the intricacies of FDIC pass-through protection. There's important considerations, not only on specifics regarding account titling and other things, but there's the whole compliance and regulatory aspect that you need to make sure all the I's are properly dotted and T's are properly crossed. So when, again, when the rubber hits the road and there is a potential bank failure, you have the confidence in knowing that you did everything correct on the front end so that you're all of our customers are fully protected. So there are a lot of nuances that just take too long for the average business owner to know and to understand. And that's where the expertise of what we bring with, I know it's a couple hundred years of banking background and experience and almost 100 years of combined deposit aggregation experience. We bring that expertise to our customers so that they don't have to worry about it. I have my own little term that I call dad deposit anxiety disorder. And that's what we sell. We're delivering anti-anxiety for, are my deposits safe? When you see, you know, the news of SVB failing and 3 days later, Signature Bank failed, two of the second and third largest bank failures in U.S. history, you're not worrying. You're not having sleepless nights. I talked to a CFO who did have money at SVB, and he said it was the worst 7 days of my life because he had over $7 million. And he said, until we got final clarity, I did not sleep at night because I was worried that I potentially just lost $7 million of our company's
money. Well, and think, how is he going to make payroll?
Right.
How is he going to pay his vendors, you know? And if he can't make payroll, how are those families going to feed themselves and pay their mortgages? And, you know, the trickle effect of something like this, when you really think about it, it's catastrophic. Not just, you know, it's not just the bank failed. What about all of the depositors that potentially would be out all of this money? How does it affect their employees? How does it affect those employees' families? How does it affect the local communities in which they live and work? It becomes a domino effect of catastrophe. And so I like to think that we're the rubber gasket between the customer and the banking industry, right? We're protecting that catastrophe from happening. But I do know that when those banks that you mentioned, SVB and Signature and Silvergate, when those banks failed late spring of 23, banks immediately kind of clicked into action and said, oh, we've got this product that we can sell you, Mr. Depositor. And that product is called ICS, Insured Cash Sweep. And that product sold by the bank can provide some level of protection to a depositor. So my question is, why would a company choose to work with someone like us versus just getting something from their bank that could potentially, and I say potentially because there's a lot of nuances, again, to these products if you don't understand them, including your funds are not fully FDIC insured 100% of the time. And we won't get into that today. That's another podcast. But why would a company choose Ampersand versus just going to their local bank and saying, hey, I've got $8 million in my account. I'm a little concerned about it being safe. Can you help me with something? Like, what's the difference?
How I look at it is ICS is a bolt-on technology to the bank, and it requires the bank to be fully informed and sell or offer it to the customer. Most aren't even doing that. Whereas Ampersand is more of a sales and service organization with a technology component in the background. You're going to talk to a real person. You're going to get your questions answered. The responsiveness by working with us versus exclusively working with technology, I think it's that personal white glove service, that concierge service that we can provide and offer our customers that you're not going to get from a company that's specifically, exclusively a technology component. The other main thing is that ICS charges banks to be a fee to offer their technology to their customers. We don't charge our banks a fee, so therefore we're able to deliver rates that are higher and better than what ICS may be able to offer because of that.
Well, you know what's interesting? What's interesting about that is I can tell you it's very off-putting to be, if anyone listening has ever had this situation where, let's say your savings account, you actually look at your statement, because a lot of people don't, and they see in their savings account they have a rate of, let's call it 1%. But they're getting these ads on Instagram or maybe in their email or something from like an Ally Bank or, you know, who knows, insert bank name here. And they're saying, hey, 5% on open a new account, you get 5%. You might open the local paper and they might have an ad in the paper that says, hey, open a new money market account, 4.25% is your rate. But then you look at what your bank is paying you and the bank's paying you 1%. And so you call up the bank and you say, hey, Mr. Banker, I've been a customer for the last decade. And I noticed in my account, my rate is 1%. I mean, I'm looking at these ads everywhere and they're saying 4.5%, 4.25%, 5%. And what does the bank do? They say, oh, let me look into it. And then they call you back and say, great news. We've been able to, I got approval and we're able to increase your rate. You're going to get a rate of 4% on your account. So on the surface, you think, well, that was really nice. They increased my rate. But my argument is, why didn't they do that the entire time you were there? Like, why wouldn't the bank, like, if it were me, I'd be really ticked off to say, like, well, hold on. Why did it take me to call you to increase my rate? You should have just automatically done that. I'm a good customer. I've been here 10 years. You know, when you work with a company like Ampersand, you get an email saying, hey, guess what? Your rate went up. Like, you're not calling and saying, why is my rate so low? Because we're always fighting for a higher rate. But you know, it reminds me of like, if you're an employee somewhere and somehow, some way, somebody's offered you a different job and they've offered you a lot more money. So you go back to your current employer and you say, hey, Mr. Employer, I'm going to leave because, here's my notice. I'm putting in my notice because I got this job offer and they're going to be paying me 20% more in my pay. And what does the current employer say? Oh, well, we'll match that. We'll give you that same pay. And it's like, well, how come I'm valuable today to that level, but yesterday I wasn't valuable?
Right.
And it's a turnoff to people. Nobody wants to feel that. It's like, if you think I was worth 20% more today, why didn't you proactively then tell me that and give me that then? And so when I think about depositors today, you know, in a decently high rate environment, because it's the highest rate environment we've had in over a decade, look at your bank statement and ask the question, am I getting a competitive rate on my money today? That's the first question. And that competitive rate today, you should be around 5%.
Right.
Easily, you should be at 5% if you're opening up your bank statement. So anyone listening to this, go open your bank statement and see if you're getting 5%. I can tell you most people listening to this, if it's a business, a nonprofit, or otherwise, a non-consumer, they're going to open up their bank statement. There's going to be no rate on their statement. There'll be interest that posts, but there's going to be no rate. So you need to then pick up your phone, send an email, send a chat, whatever you do, and ask the bank, what is the rate on my account? That's what they need to be doing.
Absolutely.
That is question number one. What is my current rate on the money I have sitting at my bank? And I don't care if it's, you have $5,000, you have $500,000, you have $5 million, $50 million. It doesn't matter. What rate do I have on my account today? The second question should be, if it's over $250,000, is it protected? And I would argue it's probably not 99% of the time. So it's having those discussions. If your rate is not above, if your rate today is not 5% or more, you should be calling us. If your funds are not fully protected above $250,000 and getting a rate that looks good, you should be calling us.
Absolutely. And to go back to your analogy about the employee-employer, that the employee goes back to the employer and then he's offered a better salary. There's a quote that I love. People work for money. If you want loyalty, get a dog. And it's the same with banking. You know, if the only time you're willing to raise your customer's rate is when they hold your feet to the fire, so to speak, that's not going to create loyalty. That doesn't create goodwill. That doesn't create an overall good customer experience. And again,
I think it's the opposite.
Exactly.
I think you feel used and abused is what I think.
And that's where I love the term advocate to kind of describe who and what we are. We're advocating on behalf of our depositors to ensure that they're always, regardless of what the current rate environment is, that they're always on the top end of the rate that they receive from Ampersand.
Yeah. Well, I can personally attest. I mean, I have personal funds here at Ampersand, but I had a personal account, a separate account at PNC Bank for many years. And I received an email not too long ago and they said, we're going to lower your rate to 2.3%. And the rate was at 5%. They're lowering, in a rising rate environment, they're lowering my rate to 2.3%. And I'm like, why in the world? First of all, that's not even a competitive rate. And if you go on PNC's website, for example, you know, they're doing home loans and home equity loans at 10% or more. And then they're doing home loans at 7%, car loans at 10%. So if they're paying me 230 and they're loaning out my money at 10%, the bank keeps the difference. This is how banks make money.
Right.
So, you know, that's the kind of thing. Once people start educating themselves to say, you know what, I'm just not going to tolerate that anymore. I've been a good customer. I'm a long-term customer. I want to make sure my funds are protected and I'm getting a competitive rate of return. I'm not saying it has to be the highest in the market, but at least it needs to be competitive so you don't feel used and abused. You know, people hire lawyers all the time. They hire accountants all the time. They hire insurance companies all the time as advisors. You know, what we're advocating our clients is you need an advisor when it comes to your banking, when it comes to, you know, loans that you're getting, deposit structures, deposit agreements. You know, you bring professionals in to ensure that you're making informed decisions on your cash, which is, in my opinion, the forgotten asset class of the century. Like, people have just kind of forgotten, I've got this 10 grand sitting here or 5 grand sitting there or 150,000 sitting here. You know, don't let it sit. Don't let it get stale. Don't let it get rusty and fall apart. You know, it's especially when I'm paying $2.99 for an avocado. I need every bit of interest I can get to make sure I can make that guacamole on Sunday.
Absolutely. And currently, I mean, 5% is a great return. You know, that cash and that savings, you should be maximizing that return that you're seeing on that. You know, I get it during COVID when rates were so incredibly low, next to zero. That was just the environment that we are in. But now we need to take advantage of these up years where we do have such a great rate environment where cash is actually a real investment right now. It's a real investment.
Well, and depositors since 2000, since the crash of the real estate market in 2008, and when we had numerous bank failures from 2009 to 2012, the people that got hit the hardest were our seniors, were our savers, were our, you know, people that, you know, liked the bond market. They liked the safety and security, and, you know, people that were living on a monthly interest check were screwed because rates were so bad. Well, now we're in a really good rate environment. And if you're not paying attention, you're going to blink and you're going to miss it, because we are expecting rates to shift downward in September. And I really think that is going to happen. We've been saying it for 18 months, not we, but the Federal Reserve has been saying it. But we're now starting to really see this is going to happen, whether it's September or November. We are going to see some rate decline. And so now more than ever, Now more than ever, if the rate environment is now starting to go down, you've got to have somebody in your corner that can fight for the best rate, that can fight to keep those deposits safe. And, who knows what's going to happen with this commercial real estate? That has some cracks in the foundation all around the country. Maybe something will happen, maybe something won't. But I don't want to be that person that took a chance and now we've got numerous bank failures again because we've got some economic downturn or a recession or who knows what's going to happen. So, any closing thoughts on some of these topics, Michael, as we bring this thing, as we bring this podcast to a close?
Well, yeah, my parting thought would be education is power, and knowledge is power. And I'm not saying that everybody needs to go out there and become an expert in FDIC and the whole banking workings, but to have someone who's advocating on your behalf and who's in your corner that has the education and the background and the chops to be able to operate in this space, I think is someone who you want and need on your in your corner. Like you said, a good attorney, a good insurance agent, a good accountant. These are all professionals that every business has. But do they have someone that's specifically looking at just their liquidity and how to properly manage that and provide solutions that deliver safety, soundness, and rate?
That's right.
That's what every business professional should be looking to have in their on their team of professionals.
And on that note, we would love to work with you if you're listening, or if you want us to review, is my current bank in any trouble? Should I be worried? Am I getting a good rate? Am I paying too much in fees? We're happy to answer all those questions for you. We're happy to help you with that information. And we don't charge for that information. We'd love to help people get educated around their banks, their banking relationships, their fees, their rate structure. So we'd be happy to do that. You can visit us at trustampersand.com. You can also call us anytime at 262-381-8400, and you get to talk to a live person anytime you want. To reach out, we're going to answer the phone and we're going to help you with a smile right here from the suburbs of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And we have enjoyed being with you guys again today. We look forward to the next podcast and keep that money safe and give us a call. Thanks.
Thank you.